Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's a sportive. It's episode 25. You notice how I tried to do something a little different there? It didn't work. I'm not real happy about that. We've got a lot to talk about. Everybody's on the line. Anybody who wants to, say hi. Stu, you're in Stearns County. We're not
in Stearns County. And welcome!
I like it better. Yeah. Brandon,
yeah, pretty good.
Apparently it's 101 like degrees in Dallas, so Brandon is doing the podcast with his shirt off right now.
Got it.
Shout out to Pipes.
Shout out. It is so fucking temperate in Minnesota right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like September.
Oh, perfect. It's beautiful.
All right, and down south is Clarence.
What's up, fuckers?
I think one thing we need to do before we get started is take a vote on whether Panama by Van Halen should be our all-time intro music or not.
I vote yes.
Because I also vote yes.
Are we going to get sued if we use it?
Are we going to get sued by anybody?
By who?
Yeah, that's my concern.
Nobody listens to this podcast.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm fine with Panama. I mean, that's my wheelhouse as far as, you know, the 80s and stuff, so.
If we ever get warned by the record company, I would consider that something that should go in my obituary.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I would be so proud of all of us.
Right, but yeah, I think the people seem to like the Panama. I mean, who doesn't? It's DLR for one thing. It's not that fucker Hagar.
Yep.
So I think yeah, it's good. I think it's a 4-0 vote, actually. So.
Van Halen, not did, Van Hagar.
Correct, and not Van Sharon, for Christ's sake. Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
That never happened.
So, yeah, we can intro with the Halen, and then, like, you know, outro with some of the weird alternative crap I threw in that playlist.
There we go. The funny part is, everybody who's listening will already have known this, because they'll already have heard Van Halen play. They'll already have known how this discussion comes out, but
well,
that's all right.
The future.
I mean, I think a lot of people want to hear how the sausage is made.
Yeah, that's true. They want to see the sport behind-the-scenes discussions.
Yeah.
The cocaine snorting that goes on before the podcast starts.
Yeah. What told you? I like that you wait until the fret slide, too. Just wait until that part's done, then kick it in.
I never considered not waiting for that.
Awesome. Makes me happy.
So, I think this will probably last for about 5 episodes till I get sick of it, but
okie doke.
We're doing good. I also want to mention up top, we got another sponsorship this afternoon from Josh Fiedler.
Awesome.
He's at CD12 Josh on Twitter, so I want all the listeners
Thanks,
out there to follow
Josh.
Him. It costs you nothing. It's literally the least you can do.
Yep.
And what he wanted us to talk about, he said we had said on last week's podcast that we'd talk about anything for money. And what he wanted us to talk about was Waylon Jennings and potato guns. So in preparation for this,
I like both
are those
of
two separate That's topics, awesome. Or did Waylon Jennings have some sort of mishap with a potato gun that we need to talk about an incident?
He Not did marry, as far as I know. But
he killed
the only gun
girlfriend.
He didn't have a mishap with, probably.
So in preparation for this, I got Clarence to come up with his top 3 Waylon Jennings songs.
No,
I can add to this one, too. So this is awesome.
Yeah, right. You asked me to. It doesn't mean I did.
Right.
No, I did. I'm just giving you shit. It's not like I prepped for it, though. I said I'd think about it. So
yeah, that's all I wanted.
Top three Waylon Jennings songs. Well, I don't know that I could go 1, 2, 3. Like, here are my three favorite 3, 2. You know, 1, 2, 3. I could break them up into more groups. Rambler. You know, he, as everybody knows, he was the bass player for Buddy Holly, and Ramblin' Man kind of has that driving bass line that kind of came to be known for as Waylon's sound. So that would have to be in the top three.
Can we get
go ahead.
Can we get Stu to sing maybe a little bit of Ramblin' Man for us?
Yeah, there you go.
You don't want that. I only do the slow, sad ones that he does.
All right.
Okay. The kind of an underrated Waylon song would be Broken Promised Land, one of my favorites. It's a Bill Rice song. He's kind of an underrated songwriter in Nashville. He wrote Lonely Too Long by Patti Loveless, and he wrote I'll Think of Something, one of Hank Jr.'s songs. Love that song. Underrated. It's a mid-80s song, kind of later Waylon.
So you're just basically reading off of Wikipedia at this point?
No, I'm going off the top of my head. I'm a giant Waylon Rube. Waylon actually was big in our household growing up. Waylon's my mother's favorite singer. It's kind of got a special place in my heart. Waylon's kind of the quintessential Waylon would be, Are You Sure Hank Done It This
Hank
Way?
Hank Done It This Way. Thank you.
Yeah, that's probably
number one. I'm going to demand that one being there.
Yeah. He's kind of saying, it's kind of quintessential Waylon because I suppose it was like an early 70s song.
75, 76, yeah.
So maybe mid-70s, okay. Even now, you have a hard time as a singer, a country singer, telling Nashville to go F itself. And back then, it was even a bigger deal. And Waylon basically with that song was telling Nashville what you can do is take your thumb and put it in your own butt. And
why did he want Nashville to put its thumb up its butt? What's wrong with Nashville?
Because it was the same old rhinestone suits, big shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change. It's kind of what they need to be told now. And Waylon was the only one with the balls to say it back then.
All right, good for you.
That up and down bass line in that song is just dum, 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 dum. It's just perfect.
Yep. Again, that driving bass line that he was known for.
For those of you who are nerds for like that alt country sound, Joe Ely, who's a great Texas singer-songwriter, did a cover of that with Uncle Tupelo, who ended up being Wilco and Sunvold later on in their careers. And if you can find their cover, that thing is worthy too. It's hard to mess up that song, but the original is still the best. But they do a very creditable cover of that. So Joe Ely and Uncle Tupelo, look that one up too on your internets, kid.
Yep.
Carry on.
That's it. The only other thing I can think of is not a Waylon song, but written for Waylon. Liquor and Lace by Stevie Nicks. She wrote it. Stevie Nicks, Don Henley. Beautiful song. Gets a lot of shit. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's a beautiful song about a couple, how she felt about Waylon and Jesse. I gave you four. I gave it a bonus track.
Yep. Deep cuts.
Jesse Coulter, by the way.
Jesse Coulter.
This is Stevie Nicks. Don Henley song is good?
That's why I say it catches a lot of shit, Brandon, and that's fine. You know, it takes all kinds, Brandon. You can give it heat. It don't bother me.
No,
it's a beautiful song.
Can I, can you sing me a tidbit of it? Is it the one that I think I know? Is it on the radio?
Give me your leather, take from me my lace. That's that one. You're trying to get him to sing it, though, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No? Nobody? No take
me?
It?
No, yeah. Here in the moonlight with
your
sleepy eyes, something doobie-doo. There you go. Yep.
Was that Don singing?
That was Stevie. I'm sorry, I'm just going to sip my High Life after that one, because that's fucking well-deserved. I need a beer.
Yep, yep. You earned it, bro.
Yeah.
Speaking of cocaine.
cocaine.
That John Henley. Yeah.
I'll have some of your cocaine.
That was tremendous.
Really good.
Stevie Nicks wrote songs for kind of my vocal range, you know, right in there, the deep, rich baritone.
Yeah.
So I think that song lends itself well to my particular skill set.
Thunder only happens when it's raining, Clarence. You know that.
Yeah, I do know that. Yep.
I did a little searching for a local connection or a sportive connection, and we actually found one thanks to @DamonKimball on Twitter. He pointed out that Waylon Jennings performed at the end of Wrestle Rock 86, the American Wrestling Association show, on which Buck Rock and Roll Zumhoff wrestled and lost to Tiger Mask. So that's your sportive connection. Patron saint, one of our patron saints, Buck Rock and Roll Zumhoff, connected to Waylon Jennings.
Statutory rapist, Buck Rock and Roll Zumhoff. Allegedly.
I love him. Allegedly. Yeah.
Potato guns? All I know is potato guns are awesome and should be used by everyone.
I don't know what they are.
You don't know what a potato gun is?
My sense is it's something that can shoot potatoes for some reason.
Yes.
Hey, who grew up in the suburbs? Brandon.
Is it a Brandon?
No, it's a giant PVC tube that you spray hairspray in one end or starter fluid in one end, and you shove a potato down the other end, and then you turn a little spark thing, and it explodes and shoots the potato 100 yards out of the barrel.
Is it when you're farming and you are harvesting potatoes and you find a potato in the ground, you want to get it, like, to your house?
No, it's the kind of thing you do for entertainment when you have two radio stations and no television.
You just, why potatoes? Because they're plentiful?
Yeah, and they're fun to shoot out of a PVC pipe.
A lot of starch.
Yeah.
They have the density and the shape that fits well into a PVC tube. I think that's it.
Yeah, you can.
Yep.
How bad does it hurt if you get hit with one?
A lot.
Probably pretty bad.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to get hit
by
one.
Okay, so there's some heat behind it.
Yeah, you can shoot them. Yeah. You can shoot them a good 100 yards, and so you can imagine that the exit velocity of that potato would probably be fairly high.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
You know, why they never used potato guns in my freshman physics class in college is beyond me. Because I think you could have demonstrated a lot of things with a potato gun. So get it together, University of Minnesota Physics Department. I know we have listeners there. All right, let's move on to actual sports stuff. And I wanted to start this week with the Timberwolves, and specifically asking Brandon, what is going on with Nick Pekovic right now?
That's a good question. I actually don't really know what's going on either. As far as I know, and all I know is from the old lamestream media telling us, is that he's almost positively going to get signed, but they're just not in any hurry to figure it out because everybody knows what the contract's going to be. I don't know why you would just do it.
So why wouldn't he
just do it right now?
Sign the contract if everybody knows what it's going to be?
Well, I'm guessing from Pekovic's side, he's probably pretty sad that nobody else made him an offer, so maybe he just wakes up every morning and checks the newspaper to see if, like, Brook Lopez got killed or something.
then he eats the newspaper because he's Montenegro.
or, you know, Joe Kimbrough somehow, like, tears his ACL. You just got to be hoping there's, like, six teams that are trying to be competitive that have good centers. If they go down, they'll come calling.
So he's holding out for a better offer
coming. An offer that the Wolves will have to match and give him more money. It's kind of a weird situation for him. And I don't know what the Wolves are waiting for. Maybe I think they already have the contract out for him, so they're just hoping Agati stays healthy and signs it.
So isn't there some chance that he goes and plays in Europe or something like that? Why are they trying to piss him off?
No, I'm pretty sure the contract is out to him. He just needs to sign it, and he probably has enough time where he's just like, who can I hire to murder Pau Gasol? So I think he's just making his phone calls, you know, trying to find the best hitman, is my guess.
So is this going to be another Kevin Love thing where he's completely pissed off that we lowballed him and then makes, you know, does some knuckle push-ups and breaks his hand?
Well, my sense is he's just pissed off in general, looking at him.
True.
I also think if he breaks his hand, he's not going to come up with some bullshit excuse like Kevin Love did. He probably would just be like, yeah, I punched a wall, man.
Let me ask you that. If Pekovic breaks his hand, does that greatly change the way that Pekovic plays basketball?
Yeah, yes, definitely. This is, you might be thinking of soccer where they use their feet, but basketball, they need their hands to grip the ball so they can dunk it and shoot and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I'll draw you a diagram when we go offline.
Does he do that stuff? He shoots the basketball?
Yeah. Yeah. They hand it to him and he shoots it into the basket.
Huh.
Yeah. Yep. A fair amount of the time.
That's high level analysis you won't get anywhere else. Right here on The Sportive.
Yeah. So, I think the hand is a pretty important thing in Pekovic's life.
Both of them?
Probably both of them, yeah. Yeah, I think his right hand is probably more important, but the left hand is also fairly valuable in his life. Similar to your life, I'm guessing.
Clarence does bring up a good point, though. If he broke his left hand, his non-shooting hand, would that affect his game a heck of a lot?
See?
Yes, it would. It would affect the shooting portion of the game.
Well, I realize it wouldn't be perfect, but...
Well,
of all
I
the,
guess...
Let's put it this way. Of all the players on the Timberwolves, he would be affected the least by a broken non-shooting hand.
Yeah,
other than perhaps... Gregory Doritos. No, what are we calling him? Greg Doritos? Other than perhaps Greg Doritos. Guacamole Doritos. Who isn't going
to
play
this year? I also think that it would be... I would actually think it might be a benefit to break... one or both of Corey Brewer's hands.
Yeah, it can only help.
it can't get any worse. Maybe he'll actually get some form.
Another excellent point.
But no, you're not going to do anything in basketball. Like you can't. It's not like football where you can kind of get away with it if you're a cornerback or whatever with like a broken pinky, you know, or you can bat shit down.
Yeah.
Like you really need it.
We should also
shit, guys.
We should also mention in the Timberwolves portion of the podcast that Shabazz Muhammad managed to get kicked out of NBA rookie orientation by having a girl in his room, which I was surprised by because I didn't know that NBA rookie orientation had the same rules as a student council conference in high school.
No shit. I thought they were supposed to be preparing them for the real world. Treating it like a 13-year-old summer camp is not the way to do it, guys.
Why do they have a... NBA rookie summer camp or whatever that they're sending these guys to? Aren't they adults? What am I missing here? They send them out of town? Like, do all the rookies go to
the
same place?
Woods. Yeah, and they go learn how to make campfires.
Yeah, I like
them.
They do like a ropes course.
Yeah.
Obstacle course, the zip line. They get to do the zip line if they get to stay to the end.
It's exactly.
No, I'm being serious. Is this seriously something that they do, is bring all the rookies together and if
it's
so,
I think it's the owner's way of protecting their investment.
How?
Don't do this. I know. It's the whole thing. They tell you which towns have the worst groupies, or I don't know.
Do you think?
Is this the only sport
play
that
dice
does
with
this?
If you play dice with Zach Randolph, pay up, or he'll put a hit out on you.
It's good to know.
I know that other sports have a rookie. Like they'll go to training camp in football and they'll talk to the rookies or whatever that. Uh-huh. But they go to the team. They do it 32 times. They go to each team. Here they bring all the rookies together into one spot. Why are they holding their hand this goddamn much? What is unique about basketball that they have to do this?
Thug
life? I don't know.
We don't have a good answer. I like to think it's
Wait,
exactly like Boys State, like American Legion Boys State, where they come together and elect a governor, and Nerlens Noel is the president, or however that works, and then the lieutenant governor is Shabazz
Muhammad.
Oh,
so it's like 4-H.
Yeah, it's like
4-H. You can't talk unless you have the conch.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the end of the week, there's a dance with the WNBA rookie orientation, and they all just hang out on opposite sides of the room.
And watch the WNBA girls dance together. Sorry, that was.
Is that a seventh grade dance joke or a WNBA joke?
That's a WNBA joke.
I got you.
That's a lesbian joke right there.
I assume that was a seventh grade dance. That's what happens at seventh grade dance jokes. So, for anybody out there,
interesting dance.
Planted a good old thought there, Brandon.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Well, I'm proud of Shabazz Muhammad for already somehow getting in trouble at nothing happening already.
That, yeah, it's hard I'm not to do. Looking forward to this.
Are the Timberwolves done basically with moves for the summer? They're basically, their team is set at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, they are right now probably somewhere between a 42 and 50 win team for the foreseeable future until Kevin Love leaves, and then they suck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So 42 wins is a good thing?
Yeah, that's, well, better than last year, which I think we ended up with 35 or so. Yeah, that means they're going to be a 500 team and exciting and competitive almost every night. And, you know, baby steps. I think that's awesome. 42. I'm a little bummed because I like playing GM that I don't think he did a very good job. But overall, this is sort of a forest and trees thing. I think a lot of geeks like me were super pissed off about the work that Saunders did because he could have done better. But if you want to just take a step back, they're going to be way more fun to watch this year, way more fun to watch next year, almost positively going to be in the playoffs at least one of those years. So, you know, if you're not obsessed with basketball, you should be pretty excited about the Wolves. Something to watch, you know?
All right. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard to be less pessimistic and less of a elitist prick. So this is one of my steps.
Is that in general or just about the Timberwolves?
It's in general, but this is one one portion of my life goals right now.
This is one of the prongs of the plan.
Yeah, this is like step three.
It's like a 3-prong plan. Try to be less pessimistic about the Timberwolves. Stop spitting on the people who bag your groceries at the supermarket. So
move
on
out
so
of the Wiener Building.
Dallas.
Yeah, I should probably move out of there, head out to the suburbs or something, but I love the wiener.
Dallas is famous. Wang Beast Skyscraper.
Can't get enough of that dong.
Speaking of Dallas, for the Dallas portion of the podcast, i.e. Brandon, this question is sort of a current question, and then there's sort of a future question, because it's about soccer. My question is this. This week, last week at the MLS All-Star Game, the commissioner came out and said they want to add 4 more MLS teams in the next 7 years, basically. And Minneapolis keeps getting mentioned because of the new stadium, because of Ziggy Will's smokescreen about, oh, we could have an MLS team and we could have tractor pulls or whatever else he said about the people's stadium, quote-unquote. A lot of people have mentioned Minneapolis as a possible destination. So my question for all three of you was, if Minneapolis has a soccer team, can you ever see yourself going to a game? And Brandon, this question is a current one because Dallas does have a soccer team. So do you ever see yourself going to an FC Dallas game?
You asked me that earlier, and I looked on the online, and I didn't even know that it was in season right now. But it's in season, and the shit's on like ESPN2. I had no idea. Honestly, if you would have told me 50 people go to it, I would have believed that.
Yeah, it's a real league. They got jerseys and everything.
It's unbelievable. So knowing that it's a pretty legit operation and that I'm fairly bored down here with very few friends and that I have a son that I have to try to keep interested in things, because of those specific factors, yes, I'm almost positive I will get to at least one game this year if it's cheap. Better be cheap.
I couldn't comment on FC Dallas's ticket prices. This original question.
I don't know why I was like threatening you with the prices. Yeah. You don't sell them.
Don't you dare try to charge me very much for this game, John.
Lower, John.
I will cut
lower.
You. I think this question was originally in my mind directed more at Stu and Clarence. And like Brandon said, I think we may have talked about this once already. But my question is, now that it seems a little more real, can you guys, and I know you both hate soccer, can you ever imagine yourself going to a soccer game in Minnesota?
Do you want to handle this one, Clarence, or...?
Well, I have an answer. If you don't, Stu, I'll take it first. Otherwise,
I got to work through this one here. I got a multi-level response.
Well, I will start with one. If Minneapolis does not get a team, then you should never get a team, because this is like the 15th biggest market in the country, and there will be 20, 25 teams. 24 teams, and if you can't get a team out of 24 when you're this big of a market, then just forget about it. That's my first point. My second point is, my initial inclination is to say no, I would never go to a MLS soccer game. I already go to soccer games, John, when my kids play, and that's plenty.
And you coach soccer
for me.
John, I'm surprised you didn't know that. He does mention it once in a while, do you?
Yeah, well, he's close personal friends with Tony Sane.
But once a day I mention it to you that I'm Joe Soccer. But will I ever get to an MLS soccer game? I'd like to say no, but I said the same thing about, like, light rail. Like I said, fuck, I'm never getting on that train. There's no way. And then one time...
light rail?
Yeah, I'm not getting on that train. And I'm not ever again. But what happened one time was... we were drinking downtown before a Gophers football game, and they got me drunk. My buddies got me drunk, and then we were walking.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they really had to twist your arm, huh?
Yeah, that wasn't tough. That wasn't the tough part. But we were walking away from the Metrodome outside of the bar, and I'm like, "What the fuck? What is going on here?" But I'm drunk, so maybe I'm just got spun around. Maybe we're going the wrong way. Or maybe we are. I don't know.
Happens.
But next thing I know, I'm on the light rail, and there I was. So. I could see myself getting into an MLS game if, like, you know, we go to Hubert's and we're, like, just pounding shots or something, and then all of a sudden you're like, no, come on in. It's, the North American Horse and Hunt Club, or, fucking trade show or something. Oh, all right. And I come in and there's Vuvuzuelas playing or something, and I'll be like, ah, fuck you fuckers. You got me again, you fuckers. So
you're saying you might go to a game because there are times when you get so fucking drunk you don't know where you are?
That you pretty much boiled it down to the essence of my argument.
Can we put that on like on the poster for the new team?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
What a blurb.
Yeah, I think that's
what a blurb. Yeah.
Bring the family or bring your friends who are so drunk they have no idea where they are right now.
Do you have friends who don't know where they're going? Bring them here.
I do have a follow-up question. I have a follow-up question about the light rail story. Was this before the Gopher game or after the Gopher game?
Before.
So you got on the...
You
got on the light rail, but the light rail doesn't go to the Gophers Stadium.
It goes to the Metrodome. This is a long time ago. This is when they were still playing the Dome.
All right, I got you. That makes more sense now. Because the light rail will go to the Gopher Stadium.
No, this is years ago. Okay. I don't know how many years ago, but this is a while ago.
As they spend another $25 trillion to expand it to St. Paul.
Oh, don't get me started, John.
I'm trying to. You noticed that.
Hey, Clarence, can I ask what the hell would be your issue with light rail?
Yeah, you're not getting me on a little tiny choo-choo train wearing a beret with my little French baguette sticking out of my compostable bag,
I think here's what I think would happen.
With the Seine, looking at the Seine outside the window. Oh,
I'm pretty sure that press release you read about the light rail was written by a friend pranking you, because you don't have to wear a beret to get on the light rail. It's just a regular old train. You can just get on.
Yeah, no, I've heard this spiel before, Brandon, when they told me we're not going on the light rail, and the next thing I know, there I was. So I'm done
there
believing
I am,
anybody.
Just chomping on a baguette.
Yep.
Smoking a cigarette with that cigarette holder at the end.
Yeah, yep.
And just complaining about Fellini.
Oh, that guy, what an asshole. That was what a fraud.
Total fraud. Hey, what's your problem with baguettes, by the way? Come on. They're good.
Nothing, but, I got to stick out of my grocery bag with the celery, also sticking out, and it's just a whole look. It's not me. It's not me, B.
That's fair enough. Stu, what was your response to that question? You had a multi-layered response, and I'm interested.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, the Kiki Time Brigade up in Blaine has, like, a really good beer garden, right?
They have in the past. I'm not sure what the situation is this year.
Because I know, I think Surly sponsored, like, the beer garden. Like, if you went to a Kiki Time game, you go get, like, half Surly's for, like, $3-4 or something like that, which is a cool thing. Because I like Surly.
Mm-hmm.
And, and the World Cup's coming up, is it not, John? Is it CONCACAF?
It is next summer. Next summer is the World Cup.
The Premier League, or?
Premier League starts in 8 days.
Okay, but the World Cup is what you should care about. The World Cup, very important.
And the
World
Cup. And who's getting relegated?
Oh, I suppose Hull City probably has a pretty good chance of going back down.
How about Old Trafford?
Old Trafford is Manchester United Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, then, boy, that may change my answer.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I would probably maybe go, just, especially if the kids want her to go. And I mean, I've got, now that I've got like soccer friends who, you know, really just live and die with this shit, and it's just, it's like almost like observing, like, you know, like it's a scientific, from a scientific remove, watching people really get into this, the kicky time game. And it's just,
you're like Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
You're modern day Jane Goodall.
Exactly. I'm fascinated by it. It's just, I mean, you know, you had a 60,000 drunk Irishmen humming Seven Nation Army, you know, fascinating to me. It's just, I'm fascinated by that level of attachment to anything, be it sports or music or masturbation. I mean, you know, really just about anything. So I think, yeah, I would probably go see a game.
Would you I would like
Surly to be there. I would not wear a jersey, no.
What about a deep V with a scarf just to blend in?
Well, what kind of scarf?
A really long red and white scarf.
Bedazzled or not?
Not bedazzled, no. Not
okay,
many.
Then yeah, I could buy. Boy. I don't,
you gotta blend in.
Tough.
You gotta blend in, man.
Well, I know. I have a scarf. I mean, I'm from Minnesota. I have a scarf, for God's sake. You gotta keep the snow and the sleet out, for Christ's sake.
Out of your neck, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I would go. But I would not wear a jersey. I don't get with it for any sport. I really just don't get that. Unless you can put like 69 on the back or something like that, because that's pretty cool. Because 69 is pretty funny.
69.
Yes.
Oh, that's good stuff. I love that.
We gotta
that
tell it to the cheap seats, boys. Let's keep doing
exactly. Yada yada. Appeal to the.
Here's one point. One more point I want to make before we move on from this topic. One of the reasons I always hear people talk about why they like going to Twins games, even though they're terrible, is because there's beer. You can sit outside. You can watch a sporting event. Now, assuming that the soccer team plays outside, soccer would have all of that. I don't know if soccer would play in the Ziggy Dome or where they would play, but soccer would have all of that.
Building them their own stadium, John.
I don't know what
stadiums.
Don't even.
We got, everybody's got a stadium. We're not building a fucking stadium.
All right. So
Clarence is already about to burst because this light rail memory. Thinking about French people. Let's not go there.
The other point I want to make is, I know I've talked to you guys about the reason you like Vikings games, and everybody likes Viking games is because everybody goes and gets hammered and just yells awful things, and that's pretty much
That's why I hate Vikings games.
No, that's not true. Because when you want to get hammered and yell horrible things at the person next to you, you can't do better than going to a Vikings game.
I just go to Christmas at my dad's house.
I'm just saying that whole screaming and drinking culture is also pretty much the definition of what soccer crowds are like. So it's got
so
some
the
of
the only way you can sell us on soccer is by saying it's not about the actual game.
That's what I'm trying to do because I know none of you actually like watching soccer.
I don't mind watching soccer. I was actually really pleasantly surprised at how much fun I had when I went to the Arsenal Stadium in London. It's good. It's hard to hate. I mean, it's a pretty constant motion. There's a little bit of strategy involved.
The Arsenal Stadium, is that Old Hickory?
That's
Andrew Jackson, United States president. They're all called Old Something, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of them is called Old Something.
Yeah, it was fun because it was just like kind of basic, similar to baseball. I don't know. It's very similar to baseball. It's equally boring. That's my point.
All right. Speaking of baseball, let's move on to the Twins a little bit. I want to start with Andrew Albers. He made his first major league start. I mean, this is a guy who pitched for Quebec in the Can-Am League, and he made his first major league start, went 8 1/3, gave up 4 hits and walked 1, struck out 2. So I want, right now, before he makes another start, for us to predict what kind of career Andrew Albers is going to have in the major leagues.
How old is he?
He is 27 years old. 2 years older than Kyle Gibson.
He is going to win 80 major league games.
80? That is a lot.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't walk many dudes. And he's not a one pitch wonder, so I think both those are good news for him. I think he's gonna be like a not as good but similar to a Brad Radke type.
If he's right? gonna if he's gonna win 80 games, he's gonna have to make like 250 starts.
Jesus, really?
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got to play.
That's
80
like 9 years
without getting
yeah.
injured.
Wait, did you right? say 80 games? 80? I thought you said eight. Eight? 80?
No, no. I think he's gonna be fine. He'll be good. He's been good for like 3 years.
So, Andrew Albers is gonna pitch in the major leagues till he's 36 years old.
Yep.
Winning, you know, a few games a year, maybe 8, 9, 10 games a year.
I think he's like a 12-game winner for the next, I guess my math was wrong. I said 60. 12-game winner for the next 5 years. What the hell's wrong with that? He seems legit. I know it's only been one start, but he's been decent in the minors. And again, he's got lots of different pitches. So it's not like he's Nick Blackburn where it's like, hey, once this sinker goes, I'm pretty much fucked, everybody.
Once his magic sinker pitches. Goes away. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think we'd find anybody that optimistic. I think my second question was going to be, is he going to win another major league game? So, bravo, Brandon.
He's been since like 09, hasn't he? Or am I like thinking of a different guy?
That no longer pessimistic thing is working for you, I got to tell you.
What the hell? Team Albers.
Team Albers is right.
Andrew Albers. Well, I can't. I'm trying to think of a pitcher that I could compare him to, what I think his career will be like. And I'm not getting anywhere. I think the best player I can compare him to is not a pitcher. It's Glenn Williams, the old the
Australian
third baseman.
Dude?
Yeah, the third baseman the Twins used to have that had like you know, came out of the gate. I think they debuted at about the same age. Glenn Williams is like an older rookie. I think he was about 27 when he debuted.
Yep.
Clarence, I just want to thank you for. I'm all of a sudden not the person who said the most asinine thing in this podcast.
Well, I'm getting somewhere,
much.
Brandon. Let me finish, and then when I'm done, I'm still crazy. You let me know.
You try.
Because I'm going somewhere with this.
Sure. You are.
They're both from kind of goofy countries. You know, Albers is from Canada, and Glenn Williams is from Australia, which is kind of like upside down Canada.
Yeah.
Basically the same. They're just quirky and goofballs and drink and, I don't know, do goofy stuff and have weird words for stuff. They both debuted late in life. You know, debuting at 27 is kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Williams was a third baseman, but he wasn't a very, you know, that's a corner position. Typically you have your power hitters there. He wasn't very powerful, didn't hit a lot of home runs. I don't know how many at-bats Glenn Williams had. I know he got hurt pretty quickly. He might have had like 30, 40, 50 at-bats total.
49.
But he hit 49? Really?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's go with 49. He hit over 400 in his career. And then he was gone. He got hurt and he never came back. So my call is that they're similar at their... Albers hits like what, 88 with his fastball. He's kind of getting by with guile and being new, and guys aren't used to him. I think he'll burn out relatively quickly, but he'll have some success while he's there this year. So he'll be like a Glenn Williams, but a pitcher. That's it.
All right.
And he'll be gone. And he'll be an anecdote. He'll be, you know, a T-shirt.
Still asking.
Okay, that's fine.
My hope for him is like a couple years of Jamie Moyer, like late career Jamie Moyer, when he couldn't break the Smita smell with his fastball, but he managed to throw 49 different pitches or whatever Jamie Moyer did and somehow managed to get by. I'm not saying he's going to last till he's 49 like Jamie Moyer did, but I'm saying a couple years of that kind of pitching, just throwing slop, hitting the corners, sort of keeping it down, having an ERA of about 4.5. That's about what we can hope for from Albers, I'd say. Stu?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
I say his fastball tops out at 88.
Yep.
Yeah.
He'll be out of baseball in 3 years. Let's just go with that.
So,
his fastball doesn't get above 88, I'm just going to say he's not in baseball. And yes, I'm well aware that Greg Maddux had a, you know, didn't
well,
have a fastball.
The difference is Greg Maddux and Jamie Moyer is they threw harder when they were young. And while they were young, they were learning how to pitch. And then when they got older, they used that knowledge in the major leagues to be more successful when they couldn't throw as hard. Albers already can't throw hard, and he doesn't have any of that success to build on or to learn from. So,
hey, if you're going to learn how to pitch, where better than the Canadian American League?
That's exactly it. So that's my point. Is I hope I'm wrong, but I see
John,
him being more.
Yes.
Did you say he pitched for Quebec?
That may or may not be true.
Because that means he might be one of those like separatists.
You know,
he might be like on a watch list.
I did see in the paper that he did a radio. That Phil Miller mentioned he did a radio interview in French with a Quebec radio station. So I think it's a pretty good bet that he is a separatist.
We found where Clarence's distrust came from. Obviously.
Oh, and he's taking the light rail to games. Yeah,
he is.
Fucking loft.
Wearing a beret and a striped shirt. And
Tangletown or some bullshit.
Blow up Pierre Trudeau's house. I mean, that's... I have my doubts. Let's put it that way. So.
The Far Side guy? Why the fuck would he care about the Far Side guy?
He doesn't like the family house.
So, yeah. Out of baseball in 3 years and potentially a terrorist. That's my take on Andrew Albert. Although I do have a thing in Twinkie Town tomorrow about Andrew Albert, so you'll want to read up on that tomorrow at about 8:45 in the morning. So.
www.twinkietownguy.com.
Yep, pretty hot sports take, guys. You're going to like it.
Hot sports take.
Are you trolling again this week?
A little bit.
Nice, nice. I love that.
Oh, I like the teasers. I like that. Dropping the teaser on the sportcast.
So for most of you, by the time you download and get to this part of the podcast, it'll already be out, so... Stop this podcast. You're not really listening anyway. You're at work. It's on in the background. You're not really hearing what I'm saying. So stop it. Go to your computer. Go to TwinkieTown.com and read what Stu has to say.
But if you're on the potato gun part, get through to the potato gun part before you read it.
Yep.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Okay, forget it. Carry on.
Strike it.
We'll strike it from the record. Post.
The other Twins topic that's out there right now is that Brian Dozier seems like he might be a legitimate professional baseball player and
Hall
not
of Famer.
Somebody. That the Twins necessarily need to get rid of. I know we're not into facts, but I actually looked up a fact on Brian Dozier. Since June 1st, he has the second best OPS of any American League second baseman behind Jason Kipnis of Cleveland, and he's 20th in the entire league, in the entire American League, in terms of OPS, which is as good a measure of hitting as any.
And that's a third of the season, so that's a lot. That's 2 months, right?
He's leading the league in doubles in that time. He's hit 8 homers in that time.
And he's it's not like he's just a hitter. He's playing he's got to be one of the top 5 defenders at second base in baseball this season.
Yeah, I didn't look up his defensive
UZR
stats because I'm not insane.
Like
plus
7.5.
How many UZRs? 7?
7, I think.
7 alpha.
Good? Yeah.
But just watching him, he's doing very well.
Yeah.
Defending. He's taking a transition from shortstop to second very well.
He's kind of what we all sort of hoped Trevor Plouffe would do this year. Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
He's continuously improving, and he's not bad on defense, and he can actually hit. Maybe he'll be good next year. Whereas Trevor Plouffe, it's like, well, he's the exact same except for that 1 month where he went crazy last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty much ready to be done with Plouffe. What about you guys?
Well, what do they do with him? They're going to just wave him? Yeah, they don't have a quick replacement other than Sano at third, so if they think they're going to start him next season, which I hope they do, then Plouffe goes where? Goes back to the outfield?
that's a disaster.
Yeah, I suppose if they get rid of Morneau, then maybe Plouffe is in a a battle for first base.
Plouffe, Colabello, and Gene are like the three first base candidates. And Morneau's gone, right? I mean, it's
unless he gets on the market and it turns out that everybody is offering him 2 years for $3 million a year or something like that, because that's about the Twins would offer.
If you get him like for like $1.5 million a year, then sure, go crazy. But there's nothing that he offers right now that you can't get for cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but this front office is so idiotic, man. I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised by any of it.
Well, why would they care about, let's say that he wants $3 million and the fair market is $1.5 million. What do they care about $1.5 million when they're $45 million under budget? $1.5 million is nothing. If he can do just a little bit better than anybody else, then why not pay the $1.5 million extra?
My prediction on Morneau is he's going to end up getting to 19 homers or 20 homers this year, because he's going to hit a bunch coming up this next month and a half, and the Twins will say, well, maybe, you never know, and they'll sign him to, 2 years for $10 million or something like that. The Kevin Correa contract, basically $6 million more than anybody else would offer him.
Unlike the Kevin Correa thing, the Rubes will love this, and the Nerds will hate it. Whereas the Nerds and the Rubes united on the Correa contract, I think.
It's nice when the Nerds and the Rubes can unite.
That was beautiful. I know it. It was great.
So rare.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is Colabello a lefty hitter?
No, righty.
Oh, he is. Okay.
So he's a righty. And that home run he hit the other night, Jesus God, he killed it. And it was to a right center, actually.
Yeah.
And it was into the water in Kansas City. I mean, he can, when he gets a hold of it, as Bert says, he does not miss. Is that how he puts it?
That sounds like a Bertism.
I haven't watched any Twins games this year, and I'm really thankful I haven't had to hear that fucking
voice on my
TV. My God. Boy, do I not miss Bert Blyleven.
Who is the best Twins broadcaster going right now? My vote is for Chris Atterbury, who hosts the studio show.
Atterbury's great. Corey Provis is plenty good.
Yep.
The one thing I don't like about Corey Provis is when somebody strikes out, he says, "He gone," like Hawk Harrelson does.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yes, he does say that sometimes. Yes, he has said that.
I think you're hallucinating again.
I do, too.
John, are you sure you weren't listening to the White Sox?
No, I'm positive. I've heard this several times.
He's got all that fluoride.
Hey, download dudes, Provis does that, let us know, because I think John is just on acid right now.
Yeah, please help me out. Use hashtag sportive facts.
Yeah,
which my brother was on Twitter today fact-checking the last podcast.
That was
a great idea.
By the way, we can follow up and say that Gallagher did, in fact, have a heart attack on stage in Rochester.
Yes, he did. I knew I wasn't wrong about that.
So maybe that's what we'll do with the first 10 minutes of every podcast, is read through the fact-checking of the last one.
I like that. It's actually a genius way to start.
The mea culpa?
Yep. Turns out Quinnia Pack is in Connecticut, everyone.
Yep.
I don't buy it for a second. Upstate New York. No.
Yep. Right by Saratoga Springs, right by the horse racing track and the nuclear power plant.
So the Twins, and in some ways they're so too depressing to talk about, but in other ways I don't even care anymore. So it's kind of nice. They got independently guys to cheer for, like Colabello and Meat Raffle, Caleb Thielbar and Andrew Albers. They're good stories. Why not cheer for them? It's like the underdog team.
As long as they got, they're basically what realistically would happen to the Cleveland Indians in Major League. They'd just be kind of
exactly.
Terrible.
That's an excellent way of putting it, Stu, and I like that.
Yes.
All right.
That's the realistic result.
Let's go to Vikings training camp, because there was some fiasco about Greg Jennings that I don't quite understand, and I feel like Stu is the most plugged into this one.
I am?
Yes. You know what's going on. What happened with Greg Jennings?
It's just Wiederer had an interview with him, and basically Jennings is talking about how, you were brainwashed in Green Bay to thinking Green Bay just had everything and all the other teams in the NFC North were hot garbage, and then he visited with Minnesota and he really liked what he saw, and and I think the way first of all, he should not have used the word brainwashed, because that's a loaded term, obviously.
He's fine using the word brainwash.
That's going to set, you know, that the minute that word got used, I mean, it was all over. But, I mean,
how is that a loaded term?
Suck it. Yeah, it's, what the hell was it? He was exactly right. He was brainwashed over there to think that they are, that everything is great there. It is the best. Nothing else is good.
Yeah.
And so what's wrong? Where was he wrong in the statement that he made?
Yeah. Nothing. He wasn't wrong. There was nothing wrong to be. There was nothing, not a single word wrong about it. He just maybe phrased it poorly for the way the media environment is structured right now. Because there's nothing going on at all. There's nothing going on right now. Nothing. The Cincinnati Atlanta game right now has nothing going on.
They asked him a question. A
regional game. This is the worst
they
ever.
They asked him a question, and we're actually mad that a guy answered honestly. Well, I'm just going to take it one day at a time and give 110%.
Yep. Who actually got mad here? Who are we criticizing for getting mad?
Packers fans getting mad. Like Barrero had his undies in a bunch about it a little bit, I think, too, because Jennings was being immature or something like that.
So Dan Barrero and Packer fans are mad? I should be thrilled about
that. I may be incorrect about Bump. I don't know for sure, but I think he might
don't
have
worry
been.
About it.
Even,
Bump's take was that Jennings is just too out there. He's trying to give controversial answers, but Bump loves the controversy. He loves the negativity. Yeah. So I don't know.
How is that out there? I realize that the NFL is a media fishbowl, but come on, he didn't.
Yeah, well, also, John, it got picked up by Pro Football Talk, and they drive a lot of the conversation. I mean,
eyeballs, lots of eyeballs.
Yeah, I mean, the minute they saw, and again, it's that brainwash thing right there. I mean, you could tell right the minute that thing got put online. I said, oh, yep, there's something people are going to talk about for 24 hours, and we'll forget about it until Green Bay plays Minnesota, and then they'll get brought up in the pregame. No one is going to remember this until, I mean, you know, this will die out like over the next couple of days, and then no one's going to remember a thing about it until they play the Packers.
That'll be fun.
It won't even get talked about. So. But I mean, I'd rather talk about this than all the, you know, everyone on the Vikings getting a devastating knee injury like, you know, everyone else is in the NFL. So I guess it'd be that.
Why have there been so many injuries? Is it just because football sucks?
It's happening to people you've heard of. It's not happening to, like, backup offensive linemen. It's happening to receivers who were to go out of the draft in your fantasy league, you know.
Are you guys ready to get on board of my 7-on-7 touch football league yet?
Are you ready
to come over to the dark side of no more hitting in football, no more tackling, always touch football,
no,
less injuries?
No,
what do you think?
No. You and John are in some sort of cabal to turn every sport slowly into soccer. That's your goal.
I'm going
hockey,
for less, less
football. You want it all to be like some weird conglomeration between soccer and tennis, and like
tennis
and fucking I don't know, backgammon, and I don't know.
I do love backgammon.
Contact games.
Good game. Good game. That's a good one.
I see through it.
You'll come to my side soon. We'll get you there. We'll get you on the light rail. We'll talk some sense into you.
We'll feed you delicious baguettes.
Delicious.
With some soft cheese.
So fresh.
Yeah, that's
Have
what
yourself
you want.
A hand-rolled cigarette.
That's what you want, Brandon. You want us all living in... You want us all crammed in these little trains watching soccer with our baguettes, living in wiener-shaped buildings above a coffee shop.
I want us all inside dongs.
That's the goal. Nice.
Everyone's happy and healthy inside a dong.
All right, I want to hear about this 7-on-7 league. The floor is yours. I'm sorry.
So this is just a flag football league that you're planning, Brandon?
No, I was just saying. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm always in favor of less hitting and less injuries in football, and everybody, every time I mention it, I get made fun of like, you're just trying to turn this all into touch football 7-on-7. So I'm just saying, you guys got to get on board of my 7-on-7 league.
Why do we want less hitting in football?
Because it makes guys die sooner.
Well, obviously, nobody wants anybody getting hit in the head, and I realize that in some ways it's impossible to prevent getting hit in the head, but taking the hitting out of football isn't necessarily, I mean, it won't be football anymore.
Nope. Oh, sure it will. You'll have the fun parts of passing and catching and interceptions and shit.
You know, I've done that passing league thing. Like, we used to do that in the summer before football season started, and I don't remember having more fun doing that, except that I didn't have to play the line, and I got to play middle linebacker or something like that.
That was great, man. That was the time of your life. Come on, admit it.
Yeah, but if they
never been happier.
If they had done it for serious, I never, ever would have gotten to play.
Well, in my league, you can, John.
What sport is there going to be for the linemen of the world? It's unfair. It's undemocratic, your league. This is America, where there's a part for everybody. That's a great thing about football. There's a part for everybody.
That's exactly right.
You can't go to UFC.
You can't run, pass, or throw. You can kick. You can be the kicker. There's a place for those who can do nothing but kick. There's a place for big guys. There's a place for small guys. It's a whole team working together. You need some of every kind. You can't have eight leadoff hitters and Jack McGee like the Cardinals in the 80s. You got to have something of everything.
This is a very nice speech, but I think it's all stupid and wrong.
Oh, Jesus.
I hear that a lot.
You want frisbee golf is what you want. Just people throwing shit.
Who doesn't love frolfing?
I don't understand. How do you frolf? You stand somewhere and you aim at a post? That's it?
Yeah, the post with like chains on it, and then the chains catch the frisbee.
Does it have to stay in the chains?
Yep.
Yeah,
you smoke golf.
You smoke your one hitter.
Yep.
You huck the bee. You hit the chains. You light up your one hitter. You huck the bee, and then you do that like 16 more times.
This sounds much less fun than regular golf.
I just like to say huck the bee. I'm not going to.
Well,
lie.
You can get
really. I've grown attached to that in the last 30 seconds.
It's worse than golf, yeah, but you just can get way higher.
Oh, so totally high.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. So, frisbeegolf.com, I assume, is the website.
Frolf.
MNFrisbeeGolf.com. MNFrolf.com. Yeah, I'm sure it's probably .net because it was one of the first websites started. All right, so that's it for frisbee golf news. I see that somebody wants to talk about Johnny Manziel. Anybody want to claim that one?
No.
Yeah, I wrote that. I've been really busy. I don't have an opinion of this. I've been really busy and just sort of out of the loop, and I know that he's been. So I read the article on ESPN about him being like basically some sort of pseudo alcoholic, immature, whatever. But I know he got into more trouble after that big feature, right? Did he somehow get paid under the table for some shit? Is he in trouble? Can somebody catch me up?
Now, I think the story goes like this: he was at the bowl game and. He now stands accused of getting paid a five-figure sum to sign a bunch of autographs for someone.
Okay.
Yes, I think that's the case. But it sounds like it might be his uncle. He has an Uncle Randy. I don't know if his name is Randy, but he has an Uncle Randy.
Yeah, it's Uncle Randy.
Who he signed a bunch of shit for, and then his uncle sold it. And I don't know. He might have just kept the money for himself because he's an Uncle Randy. That's what Uncle Randys do. Everyone has an Uncle Randy. Is that correct, Clarence?
Oh, I got a couple.
Exactly. Some people have multiple Uncle Randys, especially if you're in a Catholic family. It's just they're out there, and that's what they exist to do. So he may very well be innocent in this. And honestly, I don't care one way or the other. I think if you're going to allow any sort of payments to the NCAA, to athletes who play collegiately, their autographs should be let them do it. I see zero reason why they can't profit from their own name.
But if you start doing that, won't you get into a case where somebody like Cam Newton gets paid $10 million for an autograph by an overzealous booster?
Yep, don't care. Great, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of insane, but what else are you going to do about it? He's going to get paid that amount anyway. You can't stop it.
If it blows up the NCAA, all the better. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, I feel like I know for sure Clarence agreed. I don't know if the rest of you did too, but I'm actually not in favor of the schools paying the players because I think that they're lucky to be a part of this huge. If you put Johnny Manziel in the fucking CFL, no one's going to come watch him, right? He's lucky to have all this attention. But if it's his autograph, I'm having a hard time understanding why he shouldn't be able to, or how you're going to be able to control that. I just don't see an option besides letting it happen.
You could not let it happen, which is what they do now.
Right, but that, but it still happens, right? So, like, how are you going to actually stop it from happening?
Well, I suppose just you could make that punishments. Same argument about a lot of things, couldn't you?
Well, I'm also, like, pro lots of things.
I mean,
happen.
Obviously, some players are going to get paid under the table by boosters, no matter what the rules are. But when they're found out, there's a whole world of crap that comes down upon the school and the player and the booster. So you could make the argument and say you could make the argument and saying, well, that's going to happen anyway, so you might as well let it happen. But that's not what any. I don't think anybody's saying that they want to let that happen.
Well, Stu is.
Well,
yeah, I want anarchy, and I want the NCAA to like be no longer a thing.
Why do you hate the NCAA so much, Stu?
Pardon?
Why do you hate the NCAA so much?
Because they're awful.
Why are they awful?
They're making so much money off people's names, they're not giving them any money. Like Ed O'Bannon, they made money off him for years, so many years, and he didn't get any cut of it even after he was done with college. Like, I'm pretty sure if your name and likeness is in the video game, you should get a cut of that at some point, right?
I
seems to make sense.
I don't know.
The answer is yes, John. That is the answer.
Yeah, and I'm still coming back to like
it's,
I understand.
It's damn near criminal that it happens the way it is right now.
So does everybody get an equal cut? Like the guy who's the backup punter, does he get an equal cut as Reggie Bush say?
His likeness is not in that video game.
Sure it
for
is.
For example.
The whole roster's in there.
No, I don't think it is.
I think the whole roster's in there.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then yes. I'm pretty sure this was like a best team of the, you know, so maybe the, okay, so you're talking about like the UCLA Bruins, all 15 guys or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm if talking about case, like, I'll go back to my college days. A friend of mine from my hometown was the sort of backup, he was going to be sort of like a four-string quarterback or fifth-string quarterback and the backup punter for the Gophers.
Hassan Abdul-Khalik is from Ortonville?
Yeah. And
wow.
He ended up leaving the team before the season started, but he was in NCAA that year. You know, his height, his weight, his number and stuff. Does he get the same cut as Hassan Abdul-Khalik that year?
He could probably do his own contract, and I'm guessing he would have taken like 50 cents, right?
I can't imagine he wouldn't have, but are you going to do it individually based on a player's likeness? And if Johnny Manziel holds out for more money, then you end up using Scott Thompson, who doesn't look anything like Johnny Manziel, as Texas A&M starting quarterback?
That's how it works with the pros when they couldn't get their names. Remember that when it happened with like King Griffey Jr. Baseball and some of these older like Nintendo games? You couldn't get the guy's
Yeah, wasn't name Barry Bonds like in no MLB games or something like that for a while?
Yeah,
because he had
so
a separate deal
all the time. But I mean, again, I understand like people are losing sight of like there's an argument to be made that Ed O'Bannon was super lucky to be a part of that thing, and he probably made a lot more money, had a lot more opportunities because of it. So I'm just saying, I think that point of view can only stand for so long. And when it comes down to like a dude walking up to you and giving you X amount of dollars for your autograph, I think at some point something's got to give. If that's the way it's going to be, you got to control it. I'm talking Hamsterdam here, people.
Do we just compare college football to Amsterdam and drug enforcement?
No, Amsterdam from The Wire. Like, you gotta, like, understand that this shit's
oh,
gonna
I'm,
happen. You have to
I'm sorry,
water
I,
rather than...
I don't have $1 million and I can't afford HBO. Not all of us are rich enough to live in Wang-shaped buildings, Brandon.
I think it's on Netflix. It's $7 a month.
I can't afford that either.
All right.
I got to pay for every sports cable channel in the world because there might...
You should have been a college athlete, man.
There might be some tennis match somewhere that I could potentially miss if I don't have the right cable package.
Well, it's a good conversation because there's really no right answer, and there probably never will be, but I don't know if there's anybody who thinks that what's going on right now is the best way to do things, right?
Is it possible that it's... The best way? It's not possible that this is the best possible way to do it.
I don't think so. I think that much unpaid labor for that amount of time in every single scenario is unfair.
Yup.
Then don't do it. Go do something else. Those guys can go do something else. If they think it's unfair, they should go do something else.
Yeah, but it's a sort of monopoly situation right now. I mean, sort of. Not exactly, but a little bit.
Well, then go play in... No, there's no monopoly. You can go play for the fucking Iowa Barnstormers or whatever the fuck. You can go play wherever you want. It's not monopoly.
I think there's the point that you just called them the Iowa Barnstormers or whatever the fuck is sort of the point, right?
There, you know, and there's then the leagues where you can play
and
football.
And then the league where you will make your money makes a rule, colludes with the NCAA saying, well, you got to play 2 years or wait 2 years or whatever, so...
Well, then don't do it at all.
So they're screwed.
I'm not saying Ed O'Bannon is like the saddest victim in the whole world, but that doesn't mean that he's being treated right just because he's, you know, not the unluckiest person in the world. Like, this isn't that black and white.
Well, what if he doesn't feel like he's being treated right? Then don't play. Go do something else.
You know,
how about play and try to get treated better? How about find a solution?
I think what Clarence is trying to speak to.
He's getting paid. He's getting an education. It's worth a lot.
For the vast majority of college football players, a free education and world-class coaching and all the other benefits that student athletes get is worth more than their image rights.
Yeah, totally. And those people are fine. I'm not worried about those guys. They don't need to be paid.
So why are we worrying about the 2% rather than the 98%?
I'm saying the 98% are great, and this is a fantastic thing for them. Let's also talk about the 2%, so we don't have to deal with this bullshit every single year.
Don't the 2% get paid later on? Isn't that they'll get paid in the professional league?
Maybe.
In part thanks to the opportunity that they were afforded to play college football?
Totally. I'm not crying for Ed O'Bannon. I'm still saying it's probably not totally fair.
These aren't coal miners. Brandon and I are not saying they're coal miners.
I never care about what's fair. I care about what's right and wrong. I don't know a better way. There's no ideal way. There's no perfect way. But I'm still
okay. Well, don't let
perfect
stand in the way of better.
That's fine. I'm still waiting.
Once you get done with college, you're allowed to profit on your collegiate name, something like that, right? You're done with college, Ed O'Bannon. You're allowed to sell your jersey. You get a tiny percent of these profits on your jersey, right, or your name. You have some say in what video games you're in. That's part of the solution, right?
I agree. After they're done, they should be able to do whatever they want. Yep.
Okay, so there you go. So that's another example of something that we're not allowed to do right now. And that's what's in the courts right now, right? Isn't it Ed O'Bannon versus NCAA?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so take that time.
Now the NCAA is scared shitless about this. This is the golden goose that is getting attacked here, and they're calling out all the dogs.
So take that times 200, and that's what we're dealing with, right? There's probably at least 200 Ed O'Bannons.
Mm-hmm.
And the autograph situation, though, I think is different. I mean, he's still in college, so I don't know what the hell you're going to do about it. I'm just saying, like, the status quo is insane. Like, hey, dude, just say no to all this money and all this opportunity because you shouldn't. I agree with you. They should just say no, right? But we should also get to a point where we're like, this isn't tenable.
Yeah, and I think
Ed Field's a good test case for this because he's loaded. He comes from oil money, so I mean, he doesn't even need the money. It's the principle of the whole thing.
Set for his whole life.
This isn't like a kid from, you know, Compton or something like that. This is the guy, you know, he's had money his whole life who happens to be supernaturally good at playing quarterback in college. I mean, it's a good test case for this because this is a guy who doesn't need the money, so it's more about right and wrong rather than you don't feel like, oh God, if he doesn't get this money and he blows his knee out, he's going to be, you know, giving out blowjobs at the bus station or something like that.
Yeah, he drinks a lot. He might be anyway.
That's true. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. I mean, that's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
So I mean, I went to a state school, right? Yeah, and I went to a state school, so that's not unfamiliar for me. When you got to make tuition, you get a chapstick and a bottle of Thunderbird, and you go to town. But what were we talking about again?
I don't know. Just riff, man. Riff.
Yeah, I know. I was riffing, but yeah, I think that they should get paid for their own image. They should get the cut of it, and I want the NCAA blown up. That's my basic argument. So
what I want,
right or wrong, I'll let the courts judge.
What I want is for this
anarchy, and I want it now.
What I want is for this episode to be called "Some Chapstick and a Bottle of Thunderbird."
Well, that's fine.
Noting it.
By the way, I think this is our college football preview for the podcast too.
There we go. Yeah, I was going to ask Joe Christensen if he wanted to come on here, actually. So,
we should get Joe Christensen.
Rand Rand's his editor, so, you know, he might be able to do it.
Who's going to say no? Rand's been out here.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, he's terrible. So, I mean, no, he's a bad person. So, I mean, I think Joe...
I dislike him strongly.
So, yeah. Well, we should... I can ask him. I mean, we've met twice now, so that...
So you're basically best friends.
Right? Pretty much,
yeah. You're real life friends?
Yeah, I've met him twice.
That's all it takes for Stu. He's very charismatic.
I wouldn't say I'm charismatic so much as I'm funny when I'm drunk.
That's a big part of charisma.
That is the sum total of my charisma.
It's why Clarence is the mayor of Cannon Falls.
Pretty much. He's the Chamber of Commerce of Cannon Falls.
He absolutely is. How's the Dakota County Fair been, Clarence?
Don't make any jokes about that. I think that lady is still like an intensive care jerk face.
Which lady?
Yeah, John.
Why are you out of there?
Okay, I legitimately don't have any idea what you guys are talking about here.
A bull got loose at the county fair because some fuckers were riding ATVs around it and scared it, and it ran over and ran over a bunch of fucking people, and one lady almost died.
A bull ran over him, or an ATV ran over him?
A bull ran over him.
That's awful.
The bull was out before the ATVs, married to Uncle Randy. The bull was out before the ATVs rode by. The rodeo is claiming that they had it under control until the ATVs came over, the sheriff ATVs, and they scared it away. They had it under control and were going to get it back in the pen, but it's the sheriffs that effed up.
Oh, the old
That's
CYA, the huh?
That's exactly right. So we'll see how it all plays out. Yeah. That's it. Fair's not going very well, John. There's a lady in the hospital.
Yeah. At most county fairs, somebody ends up in the hospital, but it's from drinking, not from a bull running them over.
This is a down week for Dakota County and an up week for Ham Lake, right?
Yeah.
The guy won the lottery.
Week for Ham Lake.
Lake of Ham.
Is this dude going to do something fun with it? Have you heard any stories? I just saw the headline. Is he like...
He's buying like an Acura or something like that.
Oh, he's going to fuck... He's going to buy
an Acura. He's buying like a $30,000 Acura.
The stupid nouveau riche people in Ham Lake.
When is the last time...
Get some money, suddenly it's all Acuras.
Acura. Yeah. A jackass.
Has anybody fun ever won the lottery? Like a fun person who's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to follow around Springsteen.
I don't know, it's always an old couple, and they're
I feel like it's usually like a group of 17 lunch ladies.
Yep, that's usually it.
God, that sucks, man.
You would follow around Springsteen if you won the lottery?
Oh, I wouldn't. I don't know what, I would probably, start some bullshit company. I'd drive into the ground and go see all the baseball stadiums around the country.
Is it sad that that was the first thing I thought of, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go see a bunch of baseball stadiums. Ugh.
It's just an excuse to go see the country. I mean, it makes so much sense. You know what I mean?
I don't want to see the country. I just want to see the inside of baseball stadiums.
I'd probably start my own church.
The church of Stu?
Well, you can't tax it. So, I mean, I earned this money fair and square by picking random numbers. So Uncle Sam ain't going to take any more from me than he's already got. So I'm starting a church. I'm just going to follow L. Ron Hubbard's lessons. I'm following L. Ron Hubbard's lessons to the T. Just make it as ridiculous and unbelievable as possible, and make people with money believe it. And
you're going to be a true Scientologist.
You just murder them.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you disagree. You're dead.
Not like all those lax liberal Scientologists out there.
Oh, jeez, those are crazy people. Yeah, I'm on this. So.
The true right.
So yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm starting it when I win the lottery. I'm starting a church. So
that sounds great. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the end of the nobody fun winning a lottery streak.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I think we'd be awesome. I mean, you would want to be in our posse if we won the lottery. I think that's pretty
our
obvious.
Call-in equipment is going to be so great once one of us wins.
Oh, my God.
Just pristine sound for our bullshit.
I'm never doing this. You guys will never hear from me again if I win the lottery. I'm not even telling you what I do with the money. I'm fucking gone. Smell you fuckers leave in that fucking compound. I am gone. Never.
Oh, man. We have no idea how to get a hold of you. I don't know your real name. No. Like, oh, I had a friend. His name was Clarence Swamptown. No clue where he's
at. You know, from Slapshot?
Yeah, remember him?
He was on a podcast.
God.
Yeah, not happening.
Swore a lot.
That's enough for the cops to go on.
Yeah.
All right, well, unless anybody else has anything they want to mention, I guess we can wrap it up here. Since we're out of sports teams, the Wild haven't done anything lately.
Oh, hey,
so.
No, I saw, speaking of Scientology, the wife from King of Queens just filed a missing persons report the LAPD, the wife of the dude who runs Scientology, Leah Remini. She was a Scientology big shot.
What?
And like she left. She left the fold about a month ago, and now she filed a missing persons report because apparently Miscavige is the guy, not Doug Minkiewicz for the
Tom Cruise's best friend.
Yeah, Tom Cruise's best buddy runs the church. His wife hasn't been seen in public since 2006, which is weird, right? That's weird, right?
Yes.
That's not normal. Yeah. So she filed a missing persons report, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Holy shit.
It's the wife from King of Queens.
I had no idea she was into that. She was in Saved by the Bell, too.
Yeah, she was in Saved by the Bell. I know. The summer years. Or the summer getaway.
Yeah, when they went to the beach house.
Yeah,
Stacey Grossi. You're right.
Yeah, she had the big old giants. Huh.
Yep, she had the same accent as she did in the King of Queens.
Yeah, she had the big old giant titty.
I'm weary. You know, getting tired.
You know what I realized the other day?
I'm on the Queensboro Bridge tonight.
all I wanna do. Don't do the drive
on home to you. Baby, all my life I will be driving home to you.
To you. Harmonizing. Killed it. Do you know who else is a Scientologist? Beck.
No, he's not.
Isn't that sad?
That's
Beck's
not
a Scientologist.
True.
Look it up. That's not
that
even
is,
a
yeah,
sort
it,
of fact.
It,
that's
it,
an actual
it's for real. It is a thing that is real and happened, yes.
Sad, huh?
It ain't right.
You know who looks like Beck?
I'm like the point of view of people who... And it makes so much sense. Like, we laugh at Scientology so much because just of when you hear about the principles of it all, but if you think about it, like, every other religion is probably just as crazy, you know?
But from the outside, everyone else sounds nuts too, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But, my God, every single feature about Scientology is the funniest thing in the world
to
read.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's just freaking insane.
Again, L. Ron Hubbard was a genius. There's no getting around it. He was a genius because he got him to swallow this stuff hook, line, and sinker.
Well, I was reading this thing where it was like if you go there and you talk about some, it's like a psychologist sort of thing where you talk about your certain personality faults or whatever, and then you just have to go to a class about how to make that personality fault into like some sort of strength. That's why they all end up acting like robots, right? So,
yeah,
if you're like Clarence and you like hate everybody,
perfect.
You know,
oh, okay.
And you hate everybody. And are distrustful of most of everything, mm-hmm. instead of just going, hey, you know what, fuck it, I'm Clarence Swamptown, and this is how I roll, bitches.
Yep.
You have to, he would go sit into a class, yeah, exactly, like you do now, which is awful, I hate it. You have to
fair enough. You too.
You would go to a class for like a couple weeks or whatever, and just like get your brain, not washed, but some sort of similarity where it's like, you have to think this way and talk this way and act this way. All of a sudden, we would be like, hey, what's up, Clarence? Like, oh, I really enjoy the light rail, and French people are fine because they're different. I like everything.
See, that doesn't... It's tough because the personality trait I got is not trusting that person that's trying to brainwash. So how would they get past that barrier that I've built up over years?
You got to really be interested in... Well, you're not religious type then. You got to really be interested in that, like, faith portion of, like, once I come into the fold, I'll have some sort of eternal happiness or some bullshit. I don't know. But they, but instead of, like, faith, they just, like, take you to science classes about your personality. That's why you all turn robotic.
Yeah. Not interested in that.
No, you shouldn't be. It also will cost you, like, $100,000 to join. And
yeah, I'm out. Yep. You just talked me out of it right there. Even if I were in, I'm out. Because what the fuck am I going to do? Now I don't have a house to live in. I just had to sell it.
I think it would be the greatest ever if we got enough supportive sponsorship money to make you go join Scientology. We somehow get like $500,000.
Road trip.
Give it all the clearance to go join Scientology.
You'd read about it in the newspaper, that's for goddamn sure.
Somebody would be dead. I don't know who.
Wouldn't end well.
There would definitely be deaths.
Weren't we going to use the sponsorship budget to send Stu to a Kenny Chesney concert or something like that?
I think we
just want to send Stu to places that he doesn't like and make him live tweet it.
Oh,
that's our whole goal.
I think we may have enough sponsorship money to send Stu to a Kenny Chesney concert at this point.
All right, sport a field trip. Yeah. Let's do this.
He's not touring anymore, though. I think he's taking like a year off. Year or 18 months off.
Stu, by Kenny Chesney, we mean anybody that sings country music at a concert. They all have...
Blake Shelton's coming.
They all sing songs.
Stu, did you know that? Blake Shelton's coming to town. You could go see him.
I have family in Hector. You know, I know that, so... maybe Brad Paisley? I don't know.
So we're sending Stu to the Blake Shelton show?
Is Brad Paisley terrible?
He's the one who did that weird song with LL Cool J about, you know...
Oh, how racism was done forever?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's basically like, sorry he's racist, but it kind of just comes with the territory, so... That sort of thing.
And then LL Cool J did a rap over it and said, watch NCIS or something like that. It was a bad idea from start to execution to finish.
And somehow it's worse than we're describing it.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's not good. It's actually terrible. So.
By the way,
in the moonlight with your sleepy eyes.
We
know me walking out that door.
Okay, hold on. Is it Lovers Forever?
That's it. Face to face.
That's a good song.
City of County. Something to raise.
Something to celebrate.
Give to me your lover.
My wiener.
Give to me your
smiling.
I'd like
give to me your vagina.
I live in a big bang building.
Once again,
it's got lots of green glass and some balls at the bottom and then the shaft.
Once again, I'd like to congratulate anybody who has not turned off their iPod or music playing device and has made it to this portion of the podcast.
We are the most alienating humans on the planet.
I can't imagine why anyone would listen to this.
Oh, wait a minute. A few people seem to like our podcast? Fuck that.
All right. Here we go. We're going to get this down to zero downloads.
No way is this going to keep happening.
By episode 100, it's going to be nothing but singing over the internet with each other, and no one will ever listen.
Oh, awful.
Well, I'm proud of us.
Well, you know what?
You guys make me laugh.
Yeah. And it'll be the four of us singing and giggling the whole time. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this has been another great episode. We made it to 25. That's a quarter century.
Okay.
So,
thanks again. Who was it? Josh Fiedler?
Was that
the name of the dude?
Josh Fiedler at CD12 Josh. That's CD12
Josh. CD12 Josh. Follow guys
on Twitter. So follow him, everybody who listens. Well, we just said that nobody's listening anymore.
Out of a potato gun.
Yep.
Congratulations, Josh. He was on Twitter. He said he's getting married. So that's.
No,
that's
is he? Congratulations,
cool.
Oh, hey, Josh.
Good for him.
Hey, yeah. Josh, if you're still listening, ask us a few questions about getting married or the wedding process, and we'll answer them next time.
Yeah.
That's a pretty rough conversation.
Yep, it is.
Episode 26 will be the wedding episode.
Or stories, you let us know because we've got them.
And we'll get Parker Hageman back on because he's getting married too.
Oh yeah, we're going to be there for it, right?
Yeah, I think we're all invited.
We're all invited.
We better
be. It's in, like, the Caribbean, right?
Yeah, I assume our invitations are in the mail.
The Caribbean of America, yeah. Florida.
It's one of them some destination weddings, I think. So, yeah. Can't wait.
Nice.
It'll be fun.
Get cocoa skin.
Sure.
Cocoa tan, whatever.
Oh, that made a little more sense.
Cocoa skin.
Gotta love that cocoa skin. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll be back whenever we're back.
Yep. Fuck off, all you. Bye.
When the soul of the city was laid to rest, and the night's forgotten and left for dead.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.